This morning, once again, to consider the words from this portion of Scripture regarding Moses and his faith. We read there in the verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." We considered those words last Lord's Day morning. And in looking at them, we noted that Moses was a man of conviction. And what Moses did, he did by conviction. And he did by faith. We want then this morning to consider the words of verse 25, 26, and verse 27. What Moses did by conviction. He would not and did not want to be associated with Pharaoh. And as we see here, Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There's his conviction. Regarding his conviction, we noted his piety. Because we're told this is what Moses did by faith. His faith in God. In spite of the wickedness of the palace, here was his witness. In the midst of the Egyptians, Moses maintained a good witness because he walked by faith. So we noted his piety. We noted also his prominence. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, Moses had the freedom of the king's palace there in Egypt. He was regarded as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Some believe that Moses was next in line for the throne in Egypt because Pharaoh did not have any sons of his own. So here was Moses. And in refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he turned his back on the palace. He turned his back on the position in Egypt. He turned his back upon that prominent position that he had there. He turned his back on it all, and he did so by faith. We noted also his persuasion. We're told that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The word refuse there that we pointed out means to deny, means to disown, means to renounce. So there was Moses, and he denied all that would have been in his hands as he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That now brings us this morning to consider, after Moses and his convictions, this morning I want to look at Moses and his choice. For we read in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then we read in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So as well as Moses and his convictions, we see then here Moses and his choice. And being a man of conviction, Moses had what some may regard as difficult decisions to make. But we remember that whatever decisions or choices he made, He did so by faith. He had faith in Israel's God. And here was his choice. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here we see, first of all, regarding his choice, it was a peculiar choice. When we look at those words, would we not regard them as a most peculiar choice? Being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses had the freedom of Pharaoh's palace. He had the riches and the treasures of Egypt at his fingertips. And yet he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. A peculiar choice, some would say. Sure, many would look at that and say, what a peculiar choice for Moses to make. What choice would the fleshly man make? Would he not say, give me position? Give me the palace? Give me prosperity? Give me the pleasures of sin, even if they're only for a season? Give me those things. But Moses was not a fleshly man. Moses was a spiritual man. Moses was a godly man. Moses was a man who lived his life by faith in God. So as far as Moses was concerned, this was the only choice for him to make. Regarding this peculiar choice, notice his awareness. His awareness. As far as Moses was concerned, this was no blind choice. Having to make a particular choice and saying, well, I hope it all turns out right in the end. No, the man of God knew what was before him. He knew what he would have to pay. He knew the price that he would pay for stepping out from the house of Pharaoh and taking his stand with the Lord God Jehovah. Because here we read, choosing rather to suffer affliction. There's his awareness. Moses knew that he would suffer affliction. Indeed, we can shorten the phrase a little more. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, we could say choosing rather to suffer. That was the choice that Moses made, just as the Savior explained to those would-be disciples. He explained to them what they would need to expect if they were going to be his followers and his disciples. But we read there in Luke chapter 9. And there in Luke 9, we read in the verse 57. Luke 9 and verse 57, and the Lord said, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now that was quite a claim. And if you like, that was quite a choice. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, the Lord was saying to this would-be disciple of his, you need to know the price that you'll be called upon to pay. You need to be aware of the cost of being one of my disciples. You need to know that I do not have even a place to lay my head. You need to know that I, the one that you're going to follow or promise to follow, you need to know I do not even have a home of my own in this world. So the Lord Jesus wanted this would-be disciple to be aware of the cost of being one of his disciples. Moses, on the other hand, was aware of the cost for him to be a man separated unto God, because he said, choosing rather to suffer affliction rather than all the riches in Pharaoh's palace, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It meant leaving the comforts of home. It meant leaving the companions that he had over those 40 years in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. It meant leaving all the riches and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Again, that was the message that the Lord gave once more to some would-be disciples. If you turn to Luke chapter 14, and there we read in Luke 14, once again the words of the Lord Jesus, Luke 14, and we read in the verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, the Lord says, he cannot be my disciple. Now, when the Lord used the word hate, he didn't mean that they had to hate their family members. What he meant was, you need to love me more than your family members. And you may love father and mother, wife and children, brethren and sisters, and your own life, but you need to love me more. If you do not, then you cannot be my disciple. You need to know the cost. That's what the Lord's saying. You need to know the price that you have to pay. And the Lord then went on to say, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You go on down there to the verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Well, the Lord, or rather Moses, forsook all that he had, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and all that it meant, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was aware of what it meant. So regarding this particular or peculiar choice of Moses, We've seen his awareness. And then we take a closer look and consider the affliction. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Turning his back upon the house of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses was aware that stepping out for God, then he may expect to suffer affliction. The word affliction means to suffer with another. To suffer with another. So you can see the connection. Moses said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Moses was saying, I'm prepared to suffer with another. I'm prepared to suffer with the people of God. For he knew the people of God would suffer. And sure, hasn't that been the case? Don't the people of God suffer and are suffering now throughout this world? They suffer affliction. That's what the people of God may expect, to suffer for the cause of Christ. And the Christian that lives a separated life unto the Lord may expect to suffer affliction. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. There we read, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Mark the words. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly. Anyone who professes to be a Christian but they live a worldly life, well, they'll not suffer much persecution. Because they'll just blend in with the world. But the believer, the man or the woman who lives a separated life unto God and lives separate from the world and the ways of the world, that believer will suffer persecution. There's no doubt about it. In the workplace, they'll be made fun of. Wherever they go, when they make it known, I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. I believe in the God of heaven. You can be sure that believer will suffer affliction. But then we should remember that our dear Savior suffered much and suffered much for us. As the Apostle Peter said, for even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. That we should follow his steps, 1 Peter 2, verse 21. And if we're following in the Lord's footsteps, it means we're not ashamed of him. Those who don't want to suffer affliction will keep it quiet that they're Christians. They'll not want to spread it around in case they're made fun of. So they'll keep it to themselves. No, they'll not suffer affliction. Moses could easily have stayed in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Paul said in his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul prayed one time and he said, that I may know him. I want to know him. As we pointed out before, Paul wrote that letter to the church in Philippi when he was an old man, when he had served many years in the mission field and ministered to various churches and suffered much for the cause of Christ. Yet, in his last days, his prayer was that I may know him. He wanted to know him in a deeper, fuller way, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, listen, and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's how Paul ended his life. You recall there over in 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. The word offered means sacrificed. Not in the same sense that Christ was sacrificed, but he was going to suffer and he was going to die and be sacrificed for the cause of Christ. And that's what Paul's prayer was, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That when he would suffer and did suffer for the cause of Christ, he would be led into a deeper, fuller knowledge of his Savior. We've noted then the peculiar choice. We see also it was a personal choice. For we read, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was Moses' personal choice. There was nobody with him at the time. He didn't get anybody else's opinion on the matter. This was his personal choice. Remember what we said about Daniel last week? You recall what Daniel purposed in his heart to do? We're told in Daniel 1 and verse 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. In other words, Daniel was saying, whatever anybody else is doing, this is what I'm doing. I am not going to defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. That's my decision. That's my choice. Others can take the king's meat, but I'm not for doing it. That's my choice. Because Daniel was a man of conviction. And here you have Daniel's choice, like Moses. Moses makes a very personal choice, as if to say, well, this is what I'm doing. But it was a personal choice in another way. Personal because Moses wanted to be associated with the people of God. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It was personal because Moses wanted to be with God's people. Even though he was aware that it would mean to suffer affliction, that was his choice. Even though Moses had been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up as her son, he did not forget one thing. He did not forget he was a Hebrew. He was not an Egyptian. You recall in Exodus 2, when he went out one day, went out to see how his brethren were doing, referred to them as his brethren. Moses wanted to be numbered with the people of God. That was his personal choice. Once again, he could have had the easy life with the Egyptians in the palace of Pharaoh, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And they were slaves. And they've been put into hard bondage. They were greatly afflicted. But Moses was saying, those people are my people. I'd rather be with them than to be in this palace of a king. I'd rather be with them in their poverty than to be here in Egypt and enjoy all the treasures of Egypt. You can take it all, but I want to be with my people. I want to be with God's people, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And dear Christian, this morning, is that not the people we always want to be with? You recall when Saul of Tarsus was converted on the road to Damascus. You recall after his conversion who he wanted to be with. Before his conversion, he was wanting to persecute the Christian, arrest them, bring them, and put them into prison. But after he got converted, he didn't want to be with the crowd he had been with before, those who hated God's people and those who hated Christ. No. We read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. He would have been bringing God's people to the law courts in Damascus before his conversion. But after his conversion, what was his company then? Then was Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, certain days with the disciples. That was Paul's company now. He wanted to be with the people of God. Peter and John had been arrested for preaching the gospel. They had been arrested and they had been threatened. And they were told not to preach the gospel anymore, not to mention the name of Jesus Christ. What did they say? We will obey God rather than man. And when they were set free, We read in Acts 4 and verse 23 where they went to. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Where did they go? Went to their own company. What was their company? Company was the people of God. Their company was the people of God. Isn't that where you want to be always, with God's people? Isn't that what the psalmist said in Psalm 133? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is a blessed thing to be with the people of God. And here's Moses, and that's what he's saying. He says, those people out there that are slaves and are in hard bondage, Moses was saying, those are my people. You can keep your treasures, you can keep your riches, you can keep your palace, but I'm making a choice. I'm going to be with the people of God. That's where we want to be as we go through this life, with God's people. Even though it may mean suffering affliction, we can say with Moses, the people of God are my people. And that's good in time. But what about eternity? There is that day coming the Lord has told us about, when all nations will stand before God. And there they will stand before the great judge. And we are told by the Lord himself in Matthew 5 that there will come then the great separation. There will then come the great division. When the Lord himself shall divide the sheep from the goats. And upon his left-hand side will stand the ungodly, those who never made Christ their Savior. They will stand on his left-hand side, and on his right will stand the sheep. And who are the sheep? The people of God. And the Lord will make the great division. There'll be the great separation. To those on his left, the ungodly, those who through life rejected Jesus Christ as Savior, you know what he'll say to them? He'll say to those on his left, depart from me. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. Depart. I never knew you. I tell you, there'll be a lot of people on that day who'll be wishing they're standing with the people of God. They'll be wishing they are standing on the right-hand side of the great judge of all the earth. Because those on the right-hand side will hear the great king say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord will utter one more, come. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, ye people of God, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you. Where will you stand on that day? On the right-hand side or the left? Will you stand with the people of God, or with those who know not God? It's a sobering thought. Well, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And while in this lifetime God's people may suffer affliction, we praise the Lord, there is a great life awaiting us in eternity. And it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. We noted it was a peculiar choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It was a personal choice, not influenced by anybody else. And he wanted to be with the people of God. Not only a peculiar choice, a personal choice, it was a plain choice. It was plain. Moses, the man of God, knew that the choice he would make, knew it would be a plain choice. Nothing complicated about it. It was to remain in the palace and the pleasures of sin, or to step out for the Lord and separate from all such things and live for God. That was the choice. It was a plain, simple choice to choose between good and evil, to choose between righteousness and unrighteousness, to choose between the world and Christ, to choose between the King of Egypt or the King of Kings. What would it be? There'd be nothing complicated about it. And yet how many today make it very complicated. But if I do this and if I do that, they think about the consequences. They don't want to suffer persecution. They don't want to stand out from the crowd. They want to live as near the world as they can. You remember what we said last week about Joshua? Joshua, speaking to the children of Israel, said, "You can choose your God, whoever you want to serve." But Joshua went on to say, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was saying, that's what I'm for doing. That's what my house is doing. As for me. As far as Joshua was concerned, the choice was plain. Straightforward. Straight up and down. Nothing complicated. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God's people are faced with choices which must be made every day. Is it the world or is it Christ? Is it to be courageous and stand up for the Lord? Or is it to compromise and be cowardly and hide her light under a bushel. I have an interest in the American Civil War, the number of books in the Civil War. In one book I read about a Confederate soldier, young man, who was injured in the battle and indeed would soon pass away. And he wrote home to his mother his last letter. He said to his mother, he says, "Tell my father that I died facing the enemy." In other words, he wanted his father to know he didn't die running away from the enemy. "Tell my father that I died facing the enemy." As far as Moses was concerned, that was his position. Moses, whatever the cost, didn't he say, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Why don't you have to admire a man like Moses? The choice that he made, he was a man of conviction. Where do we stand? Have we already, by the grace of God, chosen Christ as our Savior? Are we at home with the people of God? Or more at home with the worldling? In Isaiah 56, in verse 4, we read these words. "The words of the Lord. The Lord said, choose the things that please me." The Lord said that. The Lord said that. The Lord said, "Choose the things that please me." And surely that should make our choice a plain choice. When it comes to making a decision, then we ought to say, "Does this decision I'm about to make, does it please the Lord? Will it please the Lord?" Choose the things that please me. Well, Moses made that choice, and without a doubt, it pleased the Lord. Sometimes we make choices and make decisions that don't please the Lord. But let us remember those words in Isaiah 56 and verse 4. "Choose the things that please me." We have considered Moses and his convictions. We've also considered Moses and his choices. Next Lord's Day morning, God willing, I want to look at Moses and his calculations. For we read there in verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches." That was his calculation. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect. On to the recompense of the reward. What a mighty man Moses was, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, saying, those people, they're my people. That's where I want to be. I want to be in their company. I want to be associated with them. Even though they're slaves, they're in cruel bondage, they're suffering, and have suffered. For Pharaoh, you recall, passed the law that all male, Hebrew male infants should be slaughtered. But Moses says, those people are my people. That's where I want to be. So we'll look at his calculations, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our loving God and eternal Father, rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord. We want to be on the side of the Lord. And being on the side of the Lord, we'll want to be on the side of God's people. And O Lord, how our hearts go out to those of thy people who are being persecuted even now in different parts of the world. O Lord, I pray that we might always want to be with the blood-washed people of God. And we thank thee we can look forward to that great day when we stand before the Lord and will stand on his right-hand side. O Lord God, I pray we'll always be on the right side of the Lord. I will always choose those things that please the Lord. Dear Lord, we pray for any who are not able to stay for the Lord's table. Bless them, Lord, in their travels. And dear Lord, remember us as we gather round the table. Remember the Savior's death in his own appointed way. In the Savior's name we pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and reign with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.